The organization Common Cause NC, along with a couple of other plaintiffs, including the state Democratic Party, filed another lawsuit, this one in state court, challenging our state legislative district lines on partisan gerrymandering grounds. Kind of difficult to keep the disputes regarding gerrymandering straight. You could challenge state legislative district lines or U.S. congressional district lines. You can challenge them on racial gerrymandering grounds or partisan gerrymandering grounds. This one challenging the state legislative district lines on partisan gerrymandering grounds. We've seen that before. The key difference here is that this lawsuit is being filed in state court challenging partisan gerrymandering as a violation of the North Carolina state constitution, which would make the state Supreme Court the final arbiter ultimately on that rather than the U.S. Supreme Court. We're joined now by Bob Phillips, who is the executive director of Common Cause NC. And by the way, if you want more information on them or about this case, which is Common Cause v. Lewis, you can find it online at commoncausenc.org. Bob, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Aaron, for again taking up what is an important but oftentimes complicated issue, and I thought you did a nice job right there explaining it, but good to be with you.
So tell us the difference for people who don't know between racial gerrymandering and partisan gerrymandering and what gerrymandering is, just for starters.
Well, gerrymandering, for just to kind of start with that, is when you are basically, we say, rigging, drawing the districts to advantage the party in power that is able to draw those lines after the election ending in zero, after the census. When they are gerrymandering, they're simply drawing the districts to advantage them, win as many seats as they can. Republicans have been doing it in this decade. Certainly Democrats did it before then. Racial gerrymandering and partisan gerrymandering sometimes are used as a proxy for each other. Racial gerrymandering historically has been something that has been ruled unconstitutional, but it is sort of where you're diluting the votes of African Americans or minorities by either packing them into districts or cracking them, that is sort of spreading the votes, the residents of a particular race in multiple districts, and it dilutes them to where they're not able to elect someone of their choosing, which is what the Voting Rights Act is all about. Partisan gerrymandering, the same kind of thing. In this case, you're kind of looking at how precincts are performing. Whether they are performing like in Orange County, the precincts there would be overwhelmingly probably performing Democratic versus Republican. But around the state, where you can then sort of take precincts and, like a jigsaw puzzle, put them together to either pack Democrats into fewer districts or crack spreading Democratic voters and Republican voters, depending upon what you're trying to achieve, into more districts, but yet advantaging the other party. That's kind of what that is. And I'm sure, just as I'm listening to myself, I bet I've confused more people. So, Aaron, let me stop and you jump in for a question.
Well, talking about this particular suit, which is Common Cause v. Lewis, we've followed all of the federal cases regarding gerrymandering, and so many of them this decade have led to courts at the lower level, the district courts and the circuit court, and even up to the U.S. Supreme Court, consistently striking down North Carolina's congressional and state legislative district maps and ordering the state to go back and draw and redraw and redraw and redraw. And we can talk about long-term remedies for avoiding that cycle, but all of those decisions that have struck down the map, for the most part, have been on racial gerrymandering grounds. And the reason, as you mentioned, is that it's kind of historically easier, and just sort of looking at the text of the Constitution, it's an easier case to make that racial gerrymandering is unconstitutional. Partisan gerrymandering is a little bit of a harder case, and the U.S. Supreme Court hasn't gone that far. But this particular lawsuit deals with the state constitution, and the state constitution has a number of provisions in it that make it a little bit more clear that partisan gerrymandering, drawing the district lines to benefit one party over another, or disadvantage one party, that runs afoul of the state constitution in a way that maybe the U.S. Constitution doesn't. So if you could explain the specific provisions.
Yes, there are several clauses, the freedom or right to assemble and First Amendment clauses that are in our own state constitution that, as you mentioned, we feel clearly are, through a partisan gerrymandering, in violation of our state constitution. I mean, basically, we're when you're drawing the maps and you're trying to, again, create districts that will advantage one party or the other, you're having to make decisions based on, again, how folks are voting, and you're looking at the precincts, and you're either, again, sort of punishing people by what we call viewpoint discrimination, and that is they are expressing their viewpoint by voting, and if they are voting in a way that, again, when you're drawing the maps and trying to win as many districts, you're putting those voters either, again, in a district where there's so many of them, you know, again, there's no competition, or you're spreading them out and, again, giving them or putting them, rather, in districts where there's no opportunity for someone of their choosing to ever win, similar to what a racial gerrymander is. And you're right, this is the first time, the Common Cause v. Lewis is the first time a partisan gerrymandering challenge has ever been filed against the state legislature, legislative maps, in any court in North Carolina. The companion lawsuit we filed in 2016, which is Common Cause v. Rucho, filed in federal court, and that's on the congressional maps. That's the first time in a North Carolina federal court that partisan gerrymandering ruling or challenge had ever been found to be, again, in the plaintiff's favor. We won that case. It's now headed to the U.S. Supreme Court for a hearing, we think, in February or March. But this is different. It is going to be decided by the state Supreme Court, similar to a challenge in Pennsylvania, where in that state they challenged it before their Pennsylvania state Supreme Court the congressional maps. And we have actually the same law firm that represented the Pennsylvania plaintiffs representing us. So again, we're very confident. We feel we have a very good case to make.
Speaking with Bob Phillips, Executive Director of Common Cause NC, and commoncausenc.org is the website if you want more information. And again, this case is going to be going through the state courts rather than the federal court, and it's going to be going up to the state Supreme Court ultimately, if and when it gets that far. And and correct me if I'm wrong on this, the U.S. Supreme Court has been reluctant to strike down partisan gerrymandering in the past. The state Supreme Court is currently comprised of people who might be a little bit more amenable to hearing a case and maybe a ruling in your favor. Is that right?
That's absolutely true. We do feel, again, to the U.S. Supreme Court to that point, last spring they did have two cases before them, one out of Maryland and another one out of Wisconsin, in our case, and they remanded them all back to the lower court. Mm-hmm. And again, the federal court in Greensboro, the Middle District Court, immediately reaffirmed their favorable ruling to us. But the state Supreme Court, indeed, the makeup, the people that are on it, we do feel we have a much better case before them than the U.S. Supreme Court, which now with Justice Kennedy off and Justice Kavanaugh being his replacement, there's just so much uncertainty. So, again, we feel like this would be an excellent opportunity. And to the point I think you've made, but just to be clear to the listeners, we are filing this in a way and arguing it in a way where the state Supreme Court would be, as you said, the final arbiter. It would not be something that the U.S. Supreme Court could then take up. So what the state Supreme Court rules would be the ruling. And again, we do like our chances.
And not to take Donald Trump's side in that bickering with John Roberts over different judges having different approaches, but probably factors into the consideration a little bit, and worth mentioning that the state Supreme Court is currently a 5-2 Democratic majority after the midterm, right?
Absolutely, and you hate to think of it that way, and certainly we like to think of our courts as being completely impartial, but at the same time, the past election did boost the Democratic advantage from 4-3 to 5-2, and we do feel that these would be, all of them, we would say, justices who would be looking at this objectively.
Speaking with Bob Phillips, Common Cause NC, and kind of thus, as we wrap up this conversation, kind of this whole fight about gerrymandering, and this is something that goes back to the very beginning of American government, but so much of this revolves around the fact that state legislatures are authorized to draw effectively their own district lines, and as the line goes, choose their own voters rather than the other way around. So long term, what are some solutions to gerrymandering that might involve different ways of drawing the district lines in the first place?
Again, great question, because litigation will not get us there completely. I mean, we could, and what we hope to do, obviously, is win our case and force new maps for the 2020 election, which would hopefully create a legislature, and if we win our congressional case at the U.S. Supreme Court as well, more balance, more what really looks like North Carolina. But to your question, we need reform. We need redistricting reform to be passed by the North Carolina General Assembly. Two things. We need to have another entity drawing the maps besides the legislators themselves. As the old soundbite goes, lawmakers should not be drawing their own districts. We think a nonpartisan citizens commission would be the best, or at least Common Cause thinks that might be one of the best alternatives. And the other is just having bright, clear guidelines, and one being that no partisan data is looked at. In other words, you do not draw districts with an eye toward how did a precinct perform in the last five elections, because that's the key to drawing gerrymandered districts, seeing how those past election results have been. And we would strike that, as well as no more incumbency protection, that is looking at where incumbents or potential challengers live. Because believe me, you have double bunking where two incumbents are put in the same district sometimes as a means of punishment, and or where you look at challengers and the party can say, let's not have this challenger in this district, let's draw that person out. That happens, and so we would get rid of that. So clear guidelines and finding another entity to draw the districts are the two big ingredients of a long-term solution.
And then finally, if people want to know more information, what should they know and where can they go?
Again, Aaron, I appreciate you asking me that. CommonCauseNC.org is the best place. We have a lot of information about the court cases and what we are doing and opportunities for folks to get involved. The people's voice, as we say, is always the most powerful one, and we're all citizen lobbyists, so we always encourage people who are interested to connect with us, and we can help you have your voice heard at the General Assembly.
CommonCauseNC.org is the website. Go there for more information. Bob Phillips, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron. Always a pleasure to talk with you.